like to share with you from the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke. I'm going to read verses 3 through 7, verse 10, and verse 18 from that chapter. In the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 15, beginning at verse 3, you will find these words. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, do not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he have found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Verse 10 reads, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Verse 18, I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Supporting scripture this morning that you've already heard in your hearing, in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter, I read verse 28 and 29 for your consideration. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. The base of those verses, we like to use the thought of subject this morning. There's joy that comes from true repentance. There's joy that comes from true repentance. No matter what you've done on the outside, God is still standing there with his arms wide open, saying, come on in. And now that you come in, what you going to do after you get in here? How many of you come to give God some hallelujah praise this morning? How many of you come to glorify the Lord your God, to give God thanks and praise for all that the Lord God has done? Hallelujah to the name Jesus. Are there any praises in the house this morning? Anybody that came to just lift up the name of Jesus? Anybody come to let the Lord know that I want to thank you, God, for another day's journey? Lord, I want to thank you for how good you've been to me. Somebody might say, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that the Lord God has done for me, my soul cries out. My soul cries out. Anybody want to cry out this morning? It's all right to make some noise this morning. The Bible declares, let everything that have breath praise the Lord our God. I want to know who come to praise him this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, sir. God is worthy this morning. God is worthy of all of our praises. Hallelujah to the name Jesus. You've got a reasonable portion of health and strength, then you ought not mind giving God some praise this morning. You might even have some aches and pains in that old body of yours right now. But isn't it good that you looked over that pain and said, Lord, I just want to thank you anyhow. Hallelujah to the name Jesus. I don't know about you, but I got some Bengay this morning before I came down here and rubbed this old back of mine down because it's trying to act up. But I don't let nothing or nobody stop me from praising my God. Because don't you know it could be worse than what it is? There's somebody in a worse condition than that you are in. So you still owe your God a praise this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. I guarantee you, you go to any hospital right now, the rooms are running over. And you ought to be glad this morning that you're able to go in and visit and come back out. Because there's somebody laying in there waiting and asking the Lord, Lord, I want to come home. Hallelujah to the name Jesus. Don't never forget how blessed you are this morning. Jesus is waiting for somebody to come on in. We give glory to the Lord this morning. We give honor to our ministers this morning. And we thank God for our men this morning.
lifting up their voices unto the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank God for each and every one of them and how God is blessing. And we thank God because he is God. If there ever was a time that we need to know who he is, you need to know your God for yourself. Those of us that have come through the time stages and we know that mama prayed for us. But isn't it good that you learn how to pray for yourself? Hallelujah. This morning, as we've come, we share with you a thought. There's joy that comes from true repentance. And we go in that direction this morning because we are here to kick off our revival. This is our homecoming start off, and we can't take it for granted that God has blessed us to be here another year. Where I stood in this very spot many times throughout this year from last September to this September, and a lot of our folk have gone home. Those of us that are left here, God didn't leave us here just to be pawns. God didn't just leave us here to be those that are just sitting on the pew of do nothing. But there ought to be a purpose. There ought to be something inside of you that makes you want to get closer to the Lord. And it amazes me how when one dies, we seem to be so full of grief and we get ourselves caught up in the fact that I'm going to try to do just a little bit better. And we do a little bit better for a little while. Then we flip back to the same old thing that we used to do. But God wants us to get our houses in order this morning. God wants us to recognize that there is going to come a time when we have to stand before him and we got to answer to everything that we've said, everything we've done, and most importantly, everything that we've thought in our minds. And so I don't know what you got on your mind this morning, but those of us that are here, those of us that are going to share dinner with us this morning, we realize that you ought not be in a hurry. Dinner is not till 1:30. So if I finish too quick, you're going to worry the kitchen staff. So we just as well just take our time and let God have his way. And I found out, and I don't have a problem letting folk know that there comes a time when you get tired of being in the service, the door that you came in is the same door you can go back out of. Because somebody came to give God glory. Somebody came to recognize the fact that if it had not been for the Lord who was on their side, they wouldn't even be able to be here this morning. So I thank God for those of you that are going through, but yet you press your way to the house of God. And after getting here, you're not only praying for yourself, but how many of us are praying for somebody else? Somebody standing in the gap for somebody. Somebody is trusting God and asking the Lord, Lord, I need you to help not only mine, but help those that are outside of mine. So I find this morning that it's only by the grace and the mercy of a loving God that he's allowed us to come and share the praises of his holy name, to worship him in spirit and in truth. He has blessed us and he's allowed us to come on this another, not just another Sunday service, but today is our annual homecoming, the kickoff of our revival, that, and I hope that we've already been praying that God will send us a revival, that God will move in a mighty way this week and help us get back the enthusiasm and the joy that we had in serving God. We got to understand that when we go through the changes in life, when we go through life and we are about our Father's business, or even if we are doing the wrong thing, there comes a time that you are drained out and you need God to restore those things that you have lost. Anybody, even though you are saved and realize that the enemy has been beating all up against your head and knocking on the doors of your heart and pulling at you from one side to another, the saints of old used to say, if it ain't one thing, it's another. But as soon as you get one situation worked out, there's already something else on your plate. But you got to learn how to take it one thing, one day at a time. You got to deal with this and then deal with that. Sometimes you can't deal with all of it at one time. Stress will take you out. You wonder why your blood pressure is going up. You're too stressed out about something that you don't even have control over. But if you just trust the power and the love of God, God will allow you to replenish your inner being so that you can build yourself back up to be able to continue not only in this ministry, but to excel that we might be able to go to higher heights. Now we've been loving God and we've been praising God and we've been having a good time in this house of worship. But don't you think it's about time for us to go another level? You can't go another level if you're going to do the same old thing the same old way. You got to be willing to come out of your comfort zone. You got to be willing, those of you that say, I can't do, got to go to the word of God and realize that the Bible declares I can do all things through Christ who gives me my strength. That there's somebody that won't even come up and pray to the Lord our God, not out publicly, but there come a time you ought to be able to open up your mouth. You ought to be able to say, even if you can't sing like Roland, you ought to be able to sing. Hallelujah to the name Jesus. I was sitting back there and I saw him on the monitor and I was thinking, I hadn't seen Roland in the house in a while, so I wanted to hear his voice. And before I got a chance to ask, God had already blessed him with a spirit to open up that mouth. When God gives you a gift, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. And you don't even have to wait on nobody to push you into doing something. You ought to come into God's house ready. So I thank God for what you're saying this morning. I thank God for that. I almost said, well, you should have waited just a little while longer and did that a little bit later in the service. But any time that the Spirit of God comes, it's a good time. You know, there's some folk that wait on their certain song. There's some folk that they don't hear some leaders. They got to hear that one individual leader before they can feel anything. But I come to let you know it's not about the leader. It's about the words of the song. It's about the desire. It's about the sincerity of the one that's opening up their mouths to the Lord. Then there are those of you that say, well, I don't need to hear all that singing. I just come for some preaching. But there comes a time that through somebody's testimony, you're going to get your blessing. Because when you hear of what the Lord God has done for somebody else, and then you realize that the same thing he did for him, he'll do that same thing for me. There's somebody that might be going through some of the same thing that you are going through, and you're not one to get up and talk about it, but that individual got up and said, look where the Lord has brought me from. I was down in the rut, but I turned and God heard my humble cry, and I'm able to say, but God. I'm able to say I was down and out, but God. I got pain in my body, but God. I've been looking around for my friend, but God. There's no friend like our friend Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, I thank God. I thank God for his goodness this morning. God blessed me so much last week. I almost preached that same message in here this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm going to preach it again. Oh, yes, sir. I'm going to preach it again sooner than you think. Sooner than you think. Hallelujah. God has blessed us and God has blessed me. And so I thank God for all that he has done. And I want us to understand that this is a good time for us to check our level of commitment. How committed are we to Christ? First of all, you see, we talk about being faithful to the church, but unless you are faithful to God, you're not going to be faithful to the church. And if you're faithful to God, you're going to be faithful to your church. You ought to be one this morning that realize that I might not be able to be there all the time, but when I am there, I'm going to give God my best. And when I'm not there, I'm going to pray that God is blessing those that are able to be there. Don't just sit at home and wallow in self-pity. Don't just sit at home and take your medication and fall off to sleep. Before you close your eyes, you ask the Lord to bless you. Ask the Lord to keep you in his loving care. We are going through some very trying times. And we consider the condition of our nation with all of the unnecessary bloodshed, all of the killing that continues to happen despite all of the marches, despite of all of the grief, despite of all the things that are happening in the world, there are still people losing their lives every day. When we go around and we try to do our missionary journey and we find that sickness is all over the land, all age groups, all walks of life, there's somebody that is going through. It's been said that if we ever needed the Lord, we sure do need him now. That there's not one individual that can do it. Obama can't do it all by himself. No one preacher can do it all by himself. It takes the prayers of the saints of God. It takes the prayers of even the sinner to ask the Lord, Lord, move me out of this position that I might be able to hear from heaven and I might be able to do some of the things that are right in our lives. I believe that it's important that we speak out and make a stand, but at the same time, we got to realize that we can't handle things in a violent and sinful way. We must remember the saying of old that two wrongs don't make a right. We think that we are doing something because we get our jaws all puffed up and we ball our fists up and we pull out our piece. But with you got a piece, somebody else got a piece. They might be a little bit faster than you. They may have an automatic and all you got is a pea shooter. Don't underestimate nobody. For that one that looks like he's all nice, that might be the one that'll take you out. Don't think that you're so bad because you done beat down a couple of folk. There's somebody that's able to beat you down. Strength comes in numbers, but numbers ought to have the sense enough to go to God in prayer and ask the Lord, Lord, lead me in the direction that I need to go. Too many families are suffering and grieving over senseless deaths this morning. And we must unite in prayer and allow God to do what he will do. The enemy is out to rob us, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But there comes a time we got to learn how to put the enemy under our feet. The Bible declared that vengeance is mine, so said the Lord our God. It's been said that even in a time such as this, the black man has to contend with unfair treatment. Looked at as a threat because of the color of our skin. And it's true that all lives do matter. But when we look around and see that it seemed to be the black man that is being taken down day after day. But don't you know too many men has had to suffer because of hatred and persecution at the hands of what we used to call the white man. But it switched over to those that are in authority. We got to understand that we can't let authority take advantage of our good sense. The one that are supposed to be protecting us and allowing us to do the right thing, those are the ones that are taking us out. But you cannot handle that manner in a negative manner. We got to learn how to go to God in prayer. I sat there and heard a man last night talk about the power of prayer. Our men and our teens, we got to learn how to comply to what's being asked of them to do. So I encourage those of us here in Lexington to get a mindset that we will learn how to do what we've been asked to do, especially when we are stopped by the authorities. We got to do things in an orderly manner and watch even how we use our body language. You can't take anything for granted. And you know, a whole lot of us got a whole lot of mouth. But there come a time you got to learn how to be hush mouth. There come a time where you got to go back to the old days. And it's not back going to the slavery time. Yes, sir, and no, sir, is a sense of respect for authority. It don't mean that you're belittling yourself. It don't mean that you're less than a man just because you are acknowledging authority. You got to respect authority. When authority has been put in a place, if you do the thing that you are supposed to do, then you have something to talk about. But when you buff up and you act like you're all of that and you give them a reason, see, the sad thing is sometimes you don't even have to give a reason. So we got to be very careful. We got to learn how to conduct ourselves in a manner that will be pleasing and that will be safe and peaceful for our own health being. We got to know that it's not all about you all the time. Sometimes we got to understand that if people are walking around and a whole lot of folk now got these things that we call a gun. They registered, got paperwork. They said that I'm able to take this gun anywhere that I want to go. But just because you got the paperwork, that don't mean you got the right mindset. You got to learn how to use that weapon when it needs to be used. And a lot of times, if we would have the love of Christ, if we would walk around loving one another like God has intended for us to, if we would learn how to become peacemakers instead of warlords, that there are too many of us are always trying to run down somebody. But I just thank God for a mindset that we got to learn how to get our forces together. We got to learn how to pray for our nation. And if there ever was a time that we need revival, it's right now. We need to have the peace and the love of God so that love will abound. We got to share the love of God. We got to know that it's all about the power of a loving God. So as God has blessed us to come to this great day, and as we began to prepare ourselves for the services that we call revival, let us be mindful that this just not for the sinner or the backslider. But every believer, every disciple of God needs to ask God for a little more power. Anybody in here ever been counted as one of the faithful few? Then if you're one of the faithful few, then you get drained out a whole lot faster than those that don't do nothing. See, I found out we got a whole lot of folk in the house, but everybody's not going to work. But I found out that you got to use what you got. You got to trust God that God will send you workers in the vineyard. The harvest is still plentiful, but the laborers are few. Always looking for somebody else to do what you can do for yourself. Anybody want to get on board and begin to let God use you? You got to understand that we got to have the power to overcome our trials as well as our tribulations. And let us receive the spiritual guidance that I believe God is going to give us throughout this week through his words. The word of God that does not change. That's what's going to help us get to where we need to be. You can do all the things that you want to do, but until we be doers of the word instead of just hearers only, we are going to have some of the same things going on in our lives. We got to realize that every one of us need a closer walk with God. And I believe this morning that we would ask the question that David asked in the 85th division of Psalms. We ought to have the answer, yes, God will. Now the question is, wilt thou not revive us again? That thy people may rejoice in thee. Revival is not a service to raise money. Revival is not a time just to see how good a man or woman can preach the gospel. Revival is a time for those of us to come and ask the Lord, Lord, I want you to put back in me what I have lost. I need to be replenished. I need to be restored. I need to look at things in a different manner. I need to allow the Lord to be my leader and my God. I need to have a clear understanding of what God wants me to do. I've been drained out and I need my vigor and my spiritual activity back so I'll be able to stay in the race. Too many of us, we started on this race and we stopped because somebody said something about us. Anybody want to realize that everybody talk about you? Sometimes they may be just jealous of you. They may not like the fact that you're blessed like you are. They may not like the fact that you make the sacrifice in life to come to the house of God. Now, we got homecoming today and four nights of service. I'm going to be looking and I'm going to be watching. Now, I said that, but it don't make no difference. I already know you're going to do what you want to do. But it is my job to encourage you. It is my job to let you know that I expect you to be here. God expects you to be here. If you're a member of the Fowl Chapel Baptist Church, then you ought to be making preparations to try to be in the house. I'm not even going to make you lie because I started to ask you to raise your hand. Sometimes just because somebody is looking at you, you don't want nobody to know that you already got your mind made up. Now, one good thing is, you know, sometimes when we have revival and we have different ministers for the week, we pick out who we want to hear and who we don't want to hear, we don't come. Well, we got the same man all week. So every night going to be a good night. They follow suit as they did last year. You don't even have to worry about hearing the men, the inspirational choir, the senior choir. That choir is going to sing, and they done a wonderful job last year. It is my job to try to encourage us to be at the revival. But then, more importantly, don't just be here just to be here, but come to get something. Know that you need something from God. Know that in the time that we are living in, you need a spiritual refreshing and you need to have the anointing to fall fresh on you one more time. Isn't it good to every now and again that you're not always on the mountaintop, but every now and again when you feel the power of God and you feel that spirit moving down on the inside and you realize that it's not all about what you used to be, but it's all about what God is doing in your lives right now. Now, if we look at the words of Paul here in Romans 3:10, it says, and as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So if you're looking for some perfect folk, you're looking in the wrong place. That there's something wrong with all of us. One got one fault, somebody else got another fault. One do one sin, one do another sin. But all unrighteousness is sin. Now, Paul also says in 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of that fact, it's important that we humble ourselves and pray and ask the Lord for his forgiveness. Because unless we repent, all of us shall perish. We must confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised us from the dead. Now, you are not saved because of what you don't do anymore. You are not saved because you are on this ministry or that ministry. You're not even saved because you preach the gospel. Salvation comes from believing in the death and the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. Salvation comes from opening up your mouth and repenting from your wrongdoings and saying, Lord, I'm sorry for the wrong that I've done. Anybody in here realize that there comes a time in your life that you need to repent? Well, now I found out that the reason why a lot of us won't repent, because you're hard-headed, you're stiff-necked, you want to do things your own way. You'd rather do it your way instead of God's way. But you got to learn how to loosen up your neck. If somebody in here need a massage this morning, you need to get yourself in order. You need to loosen up that old body of yours. That time when you thought that you couldn't move, now that you're able to move. You ought to be glad this morning to be able to hold up holy hands to the Lord. You ought to be able to clap your hands and stomp your feet. We go back to the day when we didn't have an organ and we didn't have a piano, but we had hands that we could clap. Didn't have carpet on the floor, but that old wood floor had a good old sound to it when the old saints got together. Everybody join in. Homecoming used to be a time when the church would be running over and everybody would be excited about the power of God. We done got so relaxed now. I already got mine. Well, you got it, but what you gonna do with it? Because if you don't use it, if you don't share it with nobody else, it's not gonna do a whole lot of good. I found out that it's not only my job to tell the good news. But every believer in the house, you are obligated to tell the good news. If the Lord God has been good to you, then you ought to be good to somebody. Sign, this is a lie. I'm going to preach this. When we look and we realize that there are those that are willing to confess. There are those of us this morning that don't mind saying that I have done wrong in my life. There comes a time that you got to repent of your wrongdoings. Now, repentance means a turning away from sin, turning away from disobedience or rebellion, turning back to God. Then it has a definition, having a change of mind. Feeling a sense of remorse or regret. When you deal with an individual that don't care what they do, you need to get away from that one. Because when you do somebody wrong, if you don't acknowledge that wrong right then, after you think about it for a little while, you ought to go back and tell that individual, I'm sorry. If you can't talk to the individual, you ought to at least try to get it right with God. Say, Lord, I'm sorry for the wrong that I've done. I have regrets about what I've done in my life. I done run my mouth a little bit too much. I'm talking to somebody in here. Study to be quiet. Mind your own business and do the work of a mighty God. That's word. You got to work on it. You got to ask God to help you. You got to ask God to do what nobody else can do. We look at our New Testament forerunner, the man called John the Baptist. His keynote message was to preach was repent for the remission of sins, for the kingdom of heaven was at hand. I come to let you know this morning that you're going to die and you're either going to hell or you're going to heaven. If you are too stiff-necked, too hard-headed, too mean to tell somebody that you're sorry, then I just want to let you know you're on your way to hell. In hell, there is no air conditioning. In hell, there is no peace of mind. In hell, you don't have nothing but torment day after day, night after night. And don't nobody want to go to hell? Anybody in here hell-bound? Well, I come to tell you that if you want to get on another train, you got to open up your mouth. You got to receive God in your heart. You got to ask the Lord, Lord, forgive me for the wrong that I've done. Lord, forgive me for that I knew that I'd done and for that I didn't know that I did. Anybody know sometimes you can say something and don't realize that you said the wrong thing? I thank God this morning for being that kind of God will allow us to repent. It'll allow us to do the thing that ought to be done. But then you got to say what you mean and mean what you say. Our supporting text tells us this morning that God gives us this parable, that there was a certain man that had two sons. He came to the first son and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. That son answered, no, I'm not going. I will not. But afterward, he thought about this thing. He said, my daddy asked me to do something. And I told my daddy no, and I shouldn't have did that. He had a good daddy. Because a lot of times, you might think no, but you're not going to be crazy enough to say no. But look at what God gives us in this parable. He lets us know that there are some of us that are so bold. Some of us that are so mean, some of us that are so disrespectful, that your daddy can ask you to do something, and you tell your daddy no. Well, I want to tell you about a daddy that's the daddy of all of us. Jesus the Christ, God the Father, is our daddy. And when he tells you to love one another and you hate one another, that's just like saying, no, I'm not going to do it. When he tells you that you need to change your wicked ways and you decide that you're not going to do it, that's just like saying, no, I'm not going to do it. But if you think about what God has done in your life and you begin to realize that I can't talk to my daddy like that, it'll make you repent and say, oh, God, I'm sorry because I didn't have my mind in the right place. But then look at the second son. He said, and he answered and said, I will go, sir. But he went not. God is tired of those of us that say we're going to do something and we never follow through. Well, all we want to do is act like we're on the Lord's side. But I stop by to tell somebody that it's time to trust the power of God. You got to realize this morning that there's time that you got to trust the power of a loving God. There's time when you got to realize that God will do what nobody else can do. I was going to take my time, but it feels like I better go on and get this out of me. For I realize in the word of God that there come a time you got to trust the power of God. Is there anybody in the house this morning that want to turn with me to the 15th chapter of Brother Luke? Luke gives us three parables by the power of God. First of all, he talks about the lost sheep. He said, if there was a man that had 100 sheep, 99 was in the pasture, but he looked around and one was lost. He would leave the 99 and go out and look for that one that is lost. Is there anybody glad this morning that when you were lost and out in the world, that God looked around at the sheepfold, realized that somebody is not here, realized that I need to go and find my sheep? And the Bible declared when he found you, he got joy down on the inside, throws you up on his shoulder, let you know that I've been to your God. I stretched high and I was lifted wide. I want to let you know I died for your sin. And I want to let you know it's time to come on and see about my God. If there anybody that realize that there come a time you got to repent. Now, how many of you love that little dollar? For the next parable, he said that there was a woman. She had so many coins, but she lost one of those coins. When you lose a little bit of money, you can't get your mind on nothing else. You go look in this place and that place. Say, I know I put that money right here. I know I had that money in my pocket. Just last week when we stopped on the way from the airport, I thought I had $10 in my vest. I went outside and I couldn't find my $10. I told my daughter, I done lost $10. She said, well, Daddy, where did you drop it at? I said, it must be on the inside. They had already locked the door. And I said, don't worry about it. But she said, no, Daddy, you lost your money. She went and knocked on the window. Said, I need to get back on the inside. My daddy done lost his money. But I went in and she went in and came back out. She didn't find the $10. But then when I got home and thought about it, I said, I spent that $10 and I forgot all about it. I'm so glad, because I was worried about my $10. When you lose something, don't you get joy when you find what you have lost? I just stopped by to tell somebody that if you lost in your sinful state, God will be so glad when you open up your mind and realize that it's time to go back to the Lord God in prayer. Now, the last parable that Jesus gives us, that there was a man that had two more sons. The younger son said, Lord, give me all of the money that you're going to give me so I can go on and leave home. But I want to let you know, the young man got his inheritance. He went out and lived a riotous life, did everything that he wanted to do, lost everything that he had. Realized one day I don't have what I used to have. I got to find myself a job. The only job he could find was feeding the pigs. And he looked at what the pigs was eating. Realized that I'm so hungry now. I almost want to eat what the pigs are eating. But then he came to himself. He realized that it is time for me to repent of my sin. I'm going to rise. I'm going to go to my father. I'm going to tell my father, I have sinned against heaven. I sinned against thee. I'm no longer worthy. If there's anybody in the house that had done some wrong in your life and the devil made you feel like God don't love you, well, I just stopped by to let you know, if you would go to God in prayer, ask the Lord to forgive you of your sin, forget about what I done on yesterday, but God, I'm standing in the need of prayer. I confess with my mouth that I've done wrong and I don't need you right, but I need my God right now to come on and see about me. But the Bible declared when he was on his way home, the father looked and he saw his son coming. He got joy down on the inside. And I just stopped by to tell Fowl's Chapel that there's joy in your life when you repent and give God your life. Is there anybody that's so glad that you gave your life back to the Lord? You asked the Lord to come in your life, forgive you of all of your sin. I'm so glad this morning that I serve a loving God. I serve a forgiving God. And all you got to do this morning is confess with your mouth. Give it back to the Lord. And God will. Your family will. Get joy. Have you ever noticed with some of our loved ones that we know been living all kind of lives, but they come to the altar and ask the Lord, Lord, forgive me. And tears begin to come down your eyes because there's joy that comes over repentance. When you repent and let the Lord God know, I regret the wrong that I've done. I have remorse in my heart. I feel bad about all that I've done. And the Lord God just wants you to know this morning that when we are out of the will of God, all we got to do is just come back. Don't allow pride to keep you from saying that you're sorry. Don't allow your hard-headedness to hinder you from letting God get on the inside. The Lord God says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. When you have been in a sinful state, it will weigh so hard on your heart to where you begin to think, don't nobody care about me. But I just come to let you know God does care. He cares so much that the Bible declared that he allowed his only begotten son to die in our stead. When you think about the fact that all have sinned and come short of God's glory, I'm so glad that all it takes is for us to open up our mouths and to say, I'm sorry. Lord, I want to repent for the wrong that I've done. It's time out for pointing the finger and trying to blame everybody else for the condition that you put yourself in. But be honest with yourself and say, I'm in this rut because of me. But if I'm going to get out of this rut, I'm going to go back to my Father. And I'm going to tell my Father, I've sinned against you. I've done what you told me not to do. And then if we reflect back to the other parable, your story might be, Lord, I said that I was going to do better, but all it was words, for I did not follow through. The Bible declared that the publicans, the tax collectors, and the harlots, even though they were living a sinful life, eventually they began to believe the word of God. And the Bible declared that they were able to enter therein. But those of us that are so mean, those of us that are still walking in denial and saying that I'm all right. If you're a liar, you know you're a liar. So you need to ask the Lord to clean up your lying tongue. If you're a backstabber, you know that you're a backstabber. That some of us, you can't trust no farther than you can see them. Smile in your face and lie right to your face. God says he's even able to forgive that if you would just go to him in prayer and say, Lord, I repent. I said some things that I had no business saying, but God, I'm sorry. I've done some things that I know you told me not to do, but Lord, I'm sorry. Now, your neighbor beside you, they may continue to hold a grudge. They may continue to say that you don't mean what you're saying. But they don't know your heart. They don't know your mind. And they don't know what God can do inside of you. For even in the midst of trouble, God can bring you out. And when God brings you out of your mess, there's joy, unspeakable joy. We ought to be excited this morning about the mere fact that God is still a merciful God and his mercy endureth forever. Don't let nobody tell you that God won't hear your prayer. Because when you were down in the mud, when you were down in your lowest point, and you cried out to the depths of God, say, Lord, I need to get up from here. It wasn't nobody but the Lord that came by and gave you strength and allowed you to get back up on your feet. Am I talking to anybody in here, or there's somebody that feel like you always been saved? You always been on the Lord's side. Now, you may have been in the church a long time, but that don't mean you've been on God's side a long time. But once you stepped over and you allowed God in the inside, it brought joy, put a smile on your face. And then some of the folk that used to know you a certain way, they began to say, you look different. You act different. You don't talk like you used to talk. There's something about you that has changed. And then you realize, I can't take any of the credit because it wasn't nobody but Jesus. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that God has done for us, our soul ought to cry out. Anybody glad that you're saved? Anybody glad you're not where you used to be? Where are the ones that are grateful to God this morning? Now, I finished preaching, but it's time to give God some praise. It's time to worship God. It's time to, if you have repented, to the power of a loving God. It's time to get up off of your seat, and it's time to tell your God, thank you, that he caught you before it was too late. The devil thought he had you, but how many are so glad you got away? Hallelujah. Somebody ought to give God praise this morning. Because somebody was hellbound. Somebody's soul was lost. Somebody didn't know what they were going to do. But God reached down in the depths of the mud and pulled you back up and made a way out of no way. And now he holds you in his hand. And because you're in his hand, no man is able to pluck you out. Oh, isn't that something to be glad about? Now, you can be glad. And then realize the reality that you have not arrived. You still got to press toward that mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I'm so glad that God saved me. But I realize that I can't stop praying. I can't stop trusting. And I can't stop being grateful. That when I did things that I didn't have no business doing, he still had mercy on me. And if that's your story this morning, can't nobody tell you what the Lord God can do. Some of us had some nasty mouths, but God was able to clean it up. God was able to make you realize that it doesn't take all of that, but you can let the Lord fight your battles. When you think about that one, and I'm finished, but that one that is struggling, that one that's trying to get out of their rut, that one that's still walking up and down the street and they are looking for something, but they just don't know where to find it. Sometimes you can come to the church, but church folk remind you of your yesterday. Some church folk are some of the meanest folk you ever want to meet. We wear a good cover, but if you just try the Spirit, by the Spirit. I was blessed to share with some blind people yesterday. And as I tried to give them a few words of encouragement, the thought came to mind, and it comes back to my remembrance now, that even though they can't see, God blessed them with a strong discernment of spirits that when you get close to them, they can feel whether there's danger there. You can get so close to them and they feel like they're all right because they can feel that real love is there. So don't take your blessings for granted. God has blessed us. And we ought to be ever so grateful that God is a forgiving God. There's true joy that comes from repentance. There might be somebody here this morning You want to do the right thing, and you've been praying about it. You've been trying your best to get closer to God. But every time you get one step closer, the enemy put a trap in your way. But today is a good day to put the enemy behind you. Today is a good day that because you have another chance to say, Lord, here I am. I'm out of your will and I don't even know your word. I don't know what to do. The first step is believing that God loves you. The next step is confessing, repenting. Not to me, not to the church, but to your God.